If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Are you ready for some unvarnished opinions? My name is Keane.
Pancha, pancha, pancha! I'm James!
Welcome along to Sissy That Pod. This is RuPaul Drag Race reaction podcast on the Headstuff Network, and we're talking about Snatch Game Holland. Were you excited for this episode, James?
I think I was going to lie and say I was, but then I think that people, regular listeners, would know to say that I came at this episode with a certain amount of trepidation, shall we say.
Well, I know that's how you left last week's episode, but I was wondering maybe, do you know, the no social visits in Ireland at the moment, maybe that you were like, do you know what, I'm fully ready.
Caution
for
to the
game.
Wind.
No.
No, I would say that the... A successful Snatch Game relies, I think, a good bit on either knowing the characters or being able to get the nuances and the jokes well enough. So I think in this episode, Snatch Game suffered from not really understanding the references.
We'll hear more on that now in the next
hour. We will.
This week's episode guest was the wonderful Ariana Grinder, straight off the back of her winning the Queen of Quarantine. Well, I mean, she could be back competing again.
Yeah, Queen of Quarantine too. That's it. Like America's Next Top Model, they just have a new cycle every 6 months.
It's Queen of Quarantine All-Stars now. It's going to happen. For non-Irish listeners, that is a local competition that happened here over quarantine, where local queens sort of competed. Anyway, Ariana is actually hilarious as well, so you'll love this interview with her. So welcome to the podcast again, Ariana Grinder. Well, Ariana, thank you for joining us. What has your opinion of Drag Race Holland been so far?
Oh, hi, thanks for having me. So far I am really enjoying it, more so than I thought.
Okay.
Obviously there's like the language barrier, and of course I can read, it's fine, so paddle get the I am not a racist, I will not complain, that's fine. But I was afraid, you know, the way you'd lose some of the gags or maybe something would be lost in translation. So far not really an issue. I was having a really great time up until this Snatch Game episode. It was going fine. I was happy enough, not many complaints. But yeah, it was this episode that actually kind of really bothered me. And you probably know what I'm going to say with the whole like non-binary issue. And I was like, girls, this is the campus show on television. Get it together. And I'm sure I'm not going to say more because I don't want to bitch too much just in case I do get cast on it one day. So great job.
Yeah. Are you relocating to Amsterdam?
Absolutely. I've been doing my Duolingo. I'm flying. I've been watching me Nikki tutorials video. She teaches you. I do it for at the end.
Oh, very good.
I'm ready to go. Book a bitch.
Well, apparently now Abby, her Dutch is as good as her English, which I mean, I'm sure is very good, but it isn't perfect. So, I mean, you know, maybe they're opening up to Queens who, you know, but which is a Duolingo level of Dutch will be, you know, season 4.
I'll stand there. I'll have my dictionary in hand. The Celtic flavor.
What's that in your hand? Oh, it's my dictionary. Who's been your favorite up to this point?
Oh, I'm going to be very, very, very gay and say Envy Peru. I love Envy. And I feel, I didn't think I was going to like her because she was getting the Rita Baga like edit. I feel like the whole thing is set up for her twin, but that's probably the conspiracy theorist in me. But I feel like the whole...
You and James are...
I don't know, like, you know...
Tinfoil wearer hats.
You are the experts. Because I remember the last time when we sat down, like you were saying, this time a year ago, we sat down, you had all of the fucking, like, you had a spreadsheets. You were telling me the average age of the winners. I was very impressed. So you are the professionals.
We're the QAnon of drag intel.
T TNN.
Very capable hands.
I mean, I've stopped doing the stats. I need to find more avenues of stats to sort of interrogate, I suppose, bring that back. Okay, so this week's episode starts with, I mean, I think it happens almost every season when somebody has lip synced a good bit and they were like, if I have to lip sync my way to the crown, then I will. And the queens have to react appropriately. So this is what Abby is saying basically to Janie. And I thought, I was like, this is normally a bad sign. It means she's going home this episode. So I was surprised when things got to later on. But before we go there, it's a mini challenge. They have to get nude. And with the exception of Envy Peru, I was surprised by how, I don't know, scared they were of it. I just would have thought they'd all be gagging to get their kits off.
See, this is the thing. I have notes. I made notes. I'm a professional girl. I'm very professional. So I wrote, it was like Drag Race meets America's Next Top Model meets Naked Attraction. I know, I'm so funny when I write shit down. Anyway, I gagged. One of them said, I think it might have been Envy, but I'm not sure. And they were like, oh my God, I just got over it. This is what the community needs right now, bitch. As if the last thing our community needs is another skinny white twink running around the place for body positivity and body are you messing? I was like, come up for air.
One thing I was thinking is that Alaska and Willem on Race Chaser often complain about the fact that the tasks that the people are set during the show aren't really relevant to the stuff that you would do in like your actual drag career. And I was thinking, you know what? Artfully taking good nudes actually is something really relevant to your career as a gay person.
In a dressing room, like, it's nothing to me because I've been working like as a singer, dancer, actor since I was 9. I'm nearly 30 now. Getting bollock naked in a dressing room, you don't bat an eyelid. So I suppose at first that's kind of, maybe you could say that's a way of getting you used to sharing a dressing room or a dressing room with different drag queens. I don't know.
I felt that it was really out of place to have this because it took up so much time. Like there was so much time given up to it. And then you had like about 3 minutes of Snatch Game. And then the runway took it. Like it was such
maybe
a weird
thing. Maybe it was to make up for the fact that the Snatch Game was just a little bit Diane. It was a bit dire. Danny Dyer. It could have been that, like, oh my God, let's distract them all with some nudes. I wouldn't be surprised if they filmed that like 4 weeks ago. Like, after they edited Snatch Game all the way down and kept as much as it in to make it like viewable. And then they were like, no, let's throw in some nudity for the gals.
Yeah, maybe if we watch it again, we'll just see sort of a pixelized Patty Pam Pam standing to the left, you know, that we didn't see.
I wouldn't be surprised at that. I would say that this cast are like, you know, skinny twinks aside, they're all very attractive.
I know. I just remember when they first announced the cast, I noticed that straight away. I went and I added all of them on Facebook and I was like, this is cute. And well, I remember thinking that, but now when the Naked Attraction episode, I'm like, okay, now it makes sense. They had this written down. They knew what they were doing.
They had to, and Janie Jacquet was very comfortable. Like, I think that there was a full frontal shot there that we got. Yeah. I was like, what is this on Drag Race?
It was covered by the subtitles for me. So I was like, oh, okay.
I turned them off. I was like, I can speak Dutch now.
That's my Duolingo.
I think they all just did well. It was hard to choose a winner. They seemed to, Janie seemed to win because she took good direction. But I think Envy's story was, you know, quite heart-wrenching. Like, it actually, I felt emotional watching it. And I was like, that must be really tough for her and his relationship and stuff. So I definitely empathized with her. And I think that's kind of what she needed. I think she was coming across a bit stone-faced with Rita Baga, like you said, kind of, you know, not letting anyone in. So I think this was definitely a good moment for her.
Good for you.
Then they are told they're doing Snatch Game and they have a walkthrough with Fred. So I know last week I spoke about who everybody played in Snatch Game, but I'll just do it again in case, you know, people might have just joined because Ariana's here.
And I've watched it, and I've rewatched it, and I rewatched it, and I'm still trying to get everyone's name right. So it's very hard when it's not like your first language.
You don't know you don't have any point of references for where they're coming from. It's like, who even are these people?
And I think my brain just makes me feel, oh you're learning shit. So it makes me feel like I'm back at school, and it gets me back into that frame of mind. Like, education. No.
So we all know Joe Exotic. So that one's a tick.
I'd be very interested to know who Abby OMG was doing.
Yeah, so she played this Michaela Cox. She's a reality TV regular. So she won the Dutch TV show. It's the Dutch equivalent of Ladette to Lady. I don't know if you remember it. James loves it. Basically, like, these girls go and they go to a finishing school and they learn etiquette and all that sort of stuff.
The only thing I did get from it was that shady edit transcends language. You know, the crickets. But even before we got the crickets, it was like, you know, like when you're watching the X Factor and like the chicken man came out, the chicken farmer, and they start playing that like clown music. Here we fucking go. I just knew they were set, and I was like,
there were new sounds. Like the subtitles for me, like, told me about the like the sort of soundtrack. So one, it was like double drum and then a cymbal for when Abby tried to tell the joke.
Mine just said shady edit.
Great. She's supposed to be some sort of Gemma Collins-esque. Like, she's been on a slew of reality shows, like Real Girls in the Jungle, Real Girls in the Prairie, The Great Jesus Quiz, that sort of stuff. So shite, like, but very entertaining.
On that sounds fab.
Annie Schilder. Well, we didn't really learn anything about her. Like, she just said her name and they laughed. But she's in like the Dutch version of the Bee Gees, I would say.
Okay. Was she the one who was in the like weird flying nun costume?
Yeah.
That was Janie Jacquet.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that costume choice.
So she's from Volendam, which is like a farming area of the Netherlands. I'm guessing this is a traditional garb for that area.
Come on, representation.
Janie's from, and that's where this woman is from, so that's why she chose her. Mama Queen did Rianne Von Dorst, so she's just a lesbian rock star.
And she looked great. I don't know who she was, but like, we know that girl.
And she's going to be on the show next week, so you can
see. Oh my god, that's cute.
Sadie Jean was Mega Mindy, who's just a kids TV character. I said last week she was like super or Power Rangers meets Sabrina.
I was very intrigued by this because like when you're auditioning and stuff, they do say that you're not allowed to like a copyrighted character. So did they get around that by adding a Mega or what?
I think they did. Yeah. Making her Mega Mindy.
Like, could I do like Bosco?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Busca.
Yeah, probably.
Bosca. Like, I don't know.
But Bosca probably, and to make it her.
Bosca. But you know what I mean? It was very like, they're very adamant that you can't do like a copyrighted character. So I was very like, oh God, is this the same character? Like, is it the same costume? I was very intrigued.
Maybe that Mega Mindy's gone out of copyright because they were like, this is shite, this is tripe, get off the telly.
Sadie Jean's impersonation was so bad it wasn't actually recognizable under copyright law.
They didn't actually use enough of it on screen for it to breach copyright.
And then finally, Envy Proop was Patty Briard. So she was in a girl group called Love, and she was a Playboy model turned reality TV star. She had her own reality TV show called Patty's Posse. And she's kind of known as the fairy gay godmother and known for being rude and abrasive. So I think we saw that. And like, I thought Envy did really well in the task. Like, I felt I knew her. I knew that this was the sort of tongue up to the top teeth and like squint your face. Like, I feel I know that woman now. I think she did a really, really good job.
Yeah. And I feel like her positioning on the panel as well, that's a very good place. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe this is the James coming out on me now. But I feel like it is very like, okay, top left nearest to Rue or Fred, whoever, you're going to do very good. Bottom left, I feel like there's certain places they put you where you're not going to get lost.
Yeah. I think it's easy if you're on an edge, it does seem to bode well for you.
I'll make sure I am sitting there. I was like, no, that's my seat. I did enjoy Envy. I didn't know who she was, but I enjoyed her performance. It was the in-between moments, which are like when she wasn't acting, she was reacting, which I find is very good. She wasn't just like deadpan. I think that's very important, and not just acting, but like Snatch Game, like being like switched on in your character. She was making funny faces. She was like clapping back. There wasn't a lot of clapping back happening, but she was doing it. And she made like she got the Rue reference in. She brought up the inner saboteur, the famous inner saboteur. I was like, oh, she knows how to play. This bitch is getting in Rue's good side. I was like, she's a top three moment for sure.
I feel she's the only one who had any sort of improv spirit in it when it was like, what does that perfume smell like? Bankruptcy. Like, I think that was the only sort of like funny off the cuff remark that we saw in the whole episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think we have to mention how like fantastic an impression of Joe Exotic Chelsea Boy did. I didn't think it was like particularly funny. Like, I wasn't rolling in the aisles laughing, but it was, like, it was an excellent, like, impression of Joe Exotic from the TV show. Yeah, well, I really enjoyed Evie Prue the most as well. I do think she was the actual funniest, and like her mannerisms were really clever, and you did get a sense of who she was on the panel, which I thought was good. But also, it was a low enough bar.
It was. Everyone else were one trick ponies. Janie's one joke was, "Hi, my name is Annie Schilder." Rianne Van Duris, Mama Queen's joke was, "I like pussy." Like, I mean, what a basic joke. Oh,
and she was like, "What does it smell like? Vaginal moistness. That's not even a smell. That's moistness. Yeah.
That's a texture.
Like, what's going on? You're going to make a joke. Make it make sense."
I don't even can't remember what Abby's one joke was, but she got like nothing. She
looks lovely, but it started and ended there.
She did look lovely. We have to give her that.
The lovely girls competition. Yeah. They all have lovely bottoms.
And we know that from the nude shoes.
Okay, well, at the risk of like over explaining all the jokes, I like Googled everyone they mentioned. So I'll just give you a big preference of the only three questions were asked in Snatch Game, which I think is a sign that it was really bad. The first question they asked was, what musical would Chantal Jensen be in next? She's just a Broadway star, so they were still...
Pancha, pancha, pancha!
Come on, Duolingo. Minimum, please welcome to the stage, Duolingo.
So they just had to come up with a musical for that. The second question then was, what does the new fragrance by Patricia Pay smell like? So Patricia Pay's daughter is going out with the character Mama Queen played in real life. So that was kind of like one that's close to home. I think that was brought up in the episode as well. And then somebody said the sweat of Adam Curry, who'd be this woman's husband. So that was the reference there. And then the third joke was basically just, what did my gay parrot say? And the joke there was, because... the Dutch for parrot is papa gay.
Oh.
And that's like papa and gay. That was it. Then that Snatch Game, that's a wrap.
All of those people that were mentioned throughout it, they just sounded like co-stars Moira Rose would lift off as she was talking about some kind of random story from her past in Schitt's Creek. You know, I could just imagine like John Dirksen. Like
Patricia Pay.
you get that sense about it.
Yeah.
It was very that.
And I might have noticed that Sarah Jean kept talking about someone called Toby. That's the character that Mega and Mindy is supposed to be in love with. So like that was her one joke. Like it was like, what did the fragrance smell like? Toby's arse crack. I was just like, are these drag queens 7 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, when you think back to the epicness that was UK Drag Race last year, where you had Maggie Thatcher and Trump, like it was, you know,
it was very good. But then in my head, I'm like, was it shite or are we just not getting it because we're very, very
Maybe if you knew who John Turkston was.
I think the fact that they only showed three questions is a sign that they didn't even think it was good.
Mm. And then it was lots of nudes.
Yeah, well, that, I mean...
Well, the fact that they didn't even cut out any of the problematic shit later on was like, no, we need to leave this in for time.
Who was the worst for you, Ariana, on Snatch Game? Take your pick.
I'm going to say Abby OMG, or Abby Oh My God, Abby Oh My God. But I was heavily influenced by the crickets and all. I'm very, I'm easily influenced, I'm easily led. I'd have to watch it without all of that to get like an objective opinion, but I think it wasn't looking good for her. It was very obvious that she was in the bottom again.
I just didn't understand anything about why. I know it's obviously more like localized, but that Janie Jacquet character, I didn't like, all she said was her name, you know. So
and they laughed every time,
you know. It's like Matt Damon in Team America. So, and I didn't like the costume either. I was, because it felt sort of like, I was like, this is like a weird farm lady caricature flying nun, not like a celebrity.
Flying nun. Very fair.
So, the runway theme this week was split personality, or at least that seems to be what the queens were told, because when it gets to the runway, RuPaul announces it as half man, half queen. I think herein lies the problem, that I think the queens get like a brief when they go onto the show, but it's not the final thing. They can change it. And I think they all just stuck to the split personality theme, and that's why the judges got so annoyed.
That's actually one thing before we, because before we get into all of this, there is a lot of like sort of sob stories going on in this, like in this series in general, because we had like the Envy Peru one in the nudes thing about the abusive relationship, about how that sort of had affected his body image. Then we had like a mini one when they were getting ready for Snatch Game about how Jamie Jacquet had been bullied in the local village, and that's why he wanted to be that flying nun. And now we get into the sort of now we get into this like whole discussion on binary.
Don't let that go. Not letting that one go, girls.
No, I'm not.
I'm clearly upset. You need to write a letter, but write a letter to your local TD.
I was offended by the flying nun on my screen.
As a good Catholic boy.
I don't believe nuns should be airborne.
I was offended.
But no, and then you get Mama Queen talking about the non-binary thing. And it's just an awful lot of like an awful lot of emotional content. You know?
Yeah, a lot of that. They were giving us our reality TV gold. They wanted their equivalent of the BAFTA or the Emmy.
Yeah.
I felt the Envy one was legitimate. And then the Janie was our mirror moment. And then the Rianne, I think, was a really valid one brought up by the judges' comments, I think. But do you notice when it cuts to Untucked, it was like, how do you feel about that? Oh, I'm pissed off. Okay, back to the runway. It was like done so quickly.
Yeah, I that's the whole like the non-binary thing, the fact that the judges hadn't been prepped to sort of understand that was going to be like the sort of gender stuff is going to be something that is going to be coming up for these contestants.
They hadn't a clue.
It made them come off extremely poorly. Like that Nikki Plessen, the way she was kind of like, oh, you're non-binary. Yeah. But what we wanted was to see like you're a man and a woman.
And there it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen, and my non-binary friends. There it is. Dropped. Like what?
We'd like you to be binary. Well, you see, your man, I was doing some reading on your man, Carlo Bozard, and he, according to Wikipedia, got in trouble. There was some...
Oh.
People on the internet had opinions when he was asked about a new television station that was to feature mostly people of color, and he kind of was like, oh, I don't see why you'd need to hire somebody just because they're black. Why can't you just give it to the best person? And you know, not sort of missing
the point. Sorry, you seem to drop your privilege. Let me get that for you.
Yeah. Seems to miss the point of diversity and representation and all that. So it's not really surprising that he absolutely missed the point again when it came to this. And when he's thinking he was solely wrong when he turns to Mama Queen and was like, but you know, you're supposed to give us a man and a woman. And they were like, oh, you know, this is non-binary. It's me and my saboteur. And he was like, well, if you have to explain the story, it isn't, it's not clear.
That's not their job. Like, do you know what I mean? If you don't understand, it's not their job to educate you. That's your job to educate yourself.
That criticism is only fair when the people you're showing it to have a baseline understanding of what you're trying to show them.
Yeah.
If you go out there in a perfect Brigitte Bardot look, I'm just thinking of Aja now in All Stars 3, and people don't know who Brigitte Bardot is, you're going to have to tell them who it is. So like that argument from him, I think, was not on.
It's very tone deaf, much like a lot of the things the judges said. For example, what's her name? Ruth.
Oh, he's in the note.
Oh, she's in the notes. She's digging through the receipts. Digging through the trash. But yeah, Ruth going fucking... She was like, oh, she didn't understand why Abby, oh my God, was doing like the sexy camp wink as a boy. And I'm like, all right, so we're just going to like femme shame this person on and demasculate them on the campus TV show.
Yeah.
And the world. I'm like, really? I was like, really? I wanted to shake them. I just wanted to grab the pair of them and shake them. It's just really, and it was very triggering for me, but I don't like identify as non-binary. I am very camp as a boy, but it's not even that. I can just imagine what someone non-binary or someone overtly camp who is kind of sensitive to other people's comments, how they, if I was triggered and read it, is that even a word? I was like,
reading it as
I was fuming. So I can only imagine how anyone else was reacting to that.
I think that the problem obviously is that they left it so vague in what the actual instructions were. Like if they've been really, really specific and said, the look you need to do for this runway is hyper masculine half, hyper feminine half, And that's what we want to see presented. That's what we want to see as part of your Roma representation. And people would have been able to say, okay. And then there would have been no gray areas, and there would have been nowhere where you could get this like weird thing of like some people interpreting as like personalities, but then the judges expecting it to be like to do with gender. And like, it was all very, like, I think it was the production's fault.
Oh, definitely.
And properly explained to the contestants and the judges what it was that was being looked for.
Yeah, no, you're dead right. Like, is it level 3? Is it level 4? Is it level 5? Is it level 3.5?
Is it level 3?
Level 2 plus.
But the Cubs are so close.
Yeah, level 3, but you can't go visit the mace. Yeah.
Sissy That Pod, as you know, lives on the Headstuff Network along with a ton of fantastic Irish podcasting talent. And this week we are going to bring you a little snippet from Dubland, the comedy podcast with Suzanne Cain and PJ Gallagher, where they talk about Irish international stories, and it's totally addictive. So let them take it away.
What is Dubland? We have to explain what Dubland is.
The Dubland podcast is an eternally pregnant woman.
I've been pregnant 3 times.
Yeah, but you've been pregnant since I met you.
Right, okay.
Hanging out with a neurotic middle-aged toddler. Mm-hmm. And the way that those two people from very opposing sides of the world see the world around them. Is that it?
Is that a good explanation of it? That's a very good explanation. You can listen on Spotify. You can listen on iTunes. You can listen on the Headstuff Podcast Network. We're on the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Up your Dublin podcast. Up your ear holes.
Up your ear holes.
Let's get into the actual looks now. So,
and if you're listening at home, you can join us by going onto the Drag Race Holland Instagram. And while you're there, you can go follow me on Instagram at Ariana Grinder. Thank you.
The first look is Janie JK. We're looking at the Instagram pages Ariana said there. And even on the Instagram page, it does say category is half man, half queen. So that does seem to be the official title of it. I thought this was...
What is the category?
What category are we on right now?
A great, clever gimmick that really worked.
No, now, this gives a little... It's a little bumpy. It could have been a lot smoother. But who am I to fucking judge? I'm a hairy man sitting in my bedroom right now. the comments about the boy's side being a bit drab or whatever the comments were, I was like, no, she looks like a camp. Well, he looks like a camp boy on that side. Seems very on brand for him.
That seems like exactly the sort of thing you would see him wearing, kind of in the workroom or anything. Like, I thought,
I think it's fab.
Yeah, I think so. I actually think I preferred the boy half.
Matron.
Yeah, but that's because you're a gay.
The spaghetti jumped out.
I did think it was clever to use the mirror thing though around the face and like have that like so you could get the illusion of the two halves of it. That was really good.
Yeah, very clever. And actually, whichever camera angle they filmed at, it looked like a full face rather than in this picture the reflective face looks a bit small. Like so, she really fed the illusion and was great.
What a smart bitch.
What a smart bitch, exactly. Next up then was Mama Queen, who I think had my favourite look on the runway. Ooh. I just thought it just looked so elegant, and she just has such a sort of goddess vibe. She's just such a weird creature. I love it.
And just
she's so statuesque.
If you're swiping along with us and the cape or the train is like in the wind, like it looks so good.
Mm. Yeah.
It looks good.
No, it really is. It kind of like half of it is like Maleficent, okay. And half of it is like Sleeping Beauty or whichever the one Maleficent didn't like was.
She didn't like. That whole fairy tale was just because Maleficent had beef with Sleeping Beauty.
Spoiler alert, sorry guys, if you haven't watched, they all die in the end.
Sleeping Beauty skipped her in a queue once.
I thought her makeup was my favorite as well because it looked so different, and it was really like weird the way, like obviously like the way in drag you can make your lips look bigger with the liner and stuff. The way the one half looks.
I've been doing it wrong all this time.
You've been giving yourself tiny lips. But no, I love the way like it just because it actually looks like a different face on each side, like the way she's done the eyes and the lips and everything. I think it looks amazing.
I was mesmerized by the whole thing. Okay, Abby, oh my god, did you see it and say oh my god?
I surprisingly really like this. I feel like they're making me not want to like her. I think maybe it's the edit, maybe it's because she's like lip sync so many times and she's keeps being kept even though she's doing shite. Maybe that's like rooted in this, but I think she looks really good, and I thought she looked really cute as a boy giving a little saucy wink. I was like, yes, Come on, femme top realness.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought she looked fab. I liked both. I thought that she had the most, like, because I think that Envy Prue kind of did a very similar look to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that this one was better than Envy's one. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the
Abby OMG disagreed with you on the show. But no, I see that. I thought it was really good. It was really well made. I'm zooming in here.
I like all the ties. I thought that was really clever.
And it kind of
it tied it all together.
Stop it, you.
Oh.
That's cute.
I mean, I feel she hit the exactly, like, she didn't really subvert expectations. She just hit exactly what they asked for right out of the park and was like,
Envy Prue is next. And she's doing kind of like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith half and half. And she actually has a little gun in her tights, which I never even noticed.
Yeah. And they were like, is that a gun? And you're, oh no, it's a gun. I kind of like that. I feel like they're kind of easing themselves into the guys. They're getting better.
I have to say, as a man, she has a proper sleazy man look going on as well, which so that was very funny.
I felt it was hard to see. Like, I think Abby did a better delineation of the face. Like, you could see the half and half, whereas it's hard to know where one gender ends and the other one begins, I think, with the face on Envy.
I think it's something to do with the eyebrow. If that eyebrow was a bit more, was less draggy. I know some boys do their eyebrows like that. I've seen it. You've seen it. Her name is Dillatrix. She works in the George. But in this challenge, it doesn't really work because it just looks kind of draggy. It's kind of like...
Yeah, but she also has a load of eye makeup on, that boy eye too.
Hmm.
Which
I think it looks great, but it's just when you're kind of looking at, Abby OMG, Abby, oh my God, you can kind of
see. Yeah. I mean, again, obviously nothing wrong with men wearing eyeshadow, but it just...
I totally disagree. I think men wearing makeup and dresses and costumes...
it all needs to be stopped.
Stop right now. Get on the other line.
Next up then is Chelsea Boy. And I have issue with the subtitles here for me, because several times she said that her inspiration was Mystique, which I presume is Mystique from the X-Men.
Okay.
But I don't think whoever did the subtitles or whatever algorithm did subtitles was aware that they were referencing Mystique from the X-Men. So it kept translating it to, my inspiration is mysticism. And I was like, I don't think that's right.
Really? Okay.
They just took the word Mystique rather than the character.
Oh my God. Sorry, I read the mysticism and the X-Men thing hadn't occurred to me, but now I'm like, because that's what, like, when the scales all flip over and she checks.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is, I think that's phenomenal. I'm in love with this look. I think it's brilliant. I think it's my favorite one of the whole evening.
Mmm, that's cute. No, I
top
like
toot of the week.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think it's great. Really meticulous, like, as it goes through.
And on the subject of meticulousness, on to our next and final look, Miss Cedar Jean.
This is my top toot of the week. Thank you. Oh, God bless her. Even the photography they did are dirty.
Which which was better, for Kermit or Miss Piggy?
Oh, Jesus. I comparing shites, like,
I would say Miss Piggy is better just because I think Kermit looks like Robin Hood.
Tell us how you really feel. I can't really like comment. I've seen some really good Miss Piggy drag. I've seen some good Kermit, a good friend of mine, Scarlett Gorgeous, who does the Drag Race UK viewing parties with me, did a fabulous Miss Piggy. And that's why when I'm looking at this, I'm just like, yeah.
I do think with Miss Piggy, the nose is so important.
Yeah, the snout.
Not having that, just like, it just looks so weird.
Like, I had to be told, if it wasn't for like the flaps on the other side, pardon the expression, I would like the Kermit the Frog's, like,
yeah,
I don't know what you want to call them, the zigzag thingies, I wasn't getting Kermit. I had to get Kermit to be told it was Miss Piggy. That was very like Trixie Mattel 60s little dress standing there with her ukulele or her guitar or her harpsichord, whatever the fuck she'd just be playing these days. I wasn't getting Miss Piggy from it at all. And I literally just watched the Muppet movie like 4 days ago. I've been getting back into it. I used to love the Muppets. I started watching it again on Disney Plus. It's so funny. Like, it's so good. And it was like made in like 79. I was watching a little behind the scenes. on Disney Plus, I'm deviating from the plot, but I'm getting back onto it just so you all know the Muppets is very, very like recent.
That Muppet movie that came out, not the last one, the one that they did with like Amy Adams.
Oh, yeah.
And that was brilliant. I remember
that. Was like, so good. But I even like the other one most. One was like, Kiamit. And it was like the evil.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was good. Yeah. Though I do want to clarify that Kermit costume is definitely just a onesie that you could have bought in pennies maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
And she was overcharged for it. She did say it cost a lot of money. You were robbed. You were Kimmy K in Paris robbed.
Yeah,
but I don't. Does Kermit not have a bald head? I don't understand the green hair, and then I don't understand the green glitter beard.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. But while we're on the subject of the Muppets, if you want to hear a funny story, I was not recently. It was before the lockdown. I was on a Grindr hookup in sunny Cork, and I got there, and he's like, "What do you want to watch?" And I was like, "I don't mind." He puts on something random, being the new Muppets program on fucking on Disney Plus. And we were just having a nice time. I'll leave the rest to your imagination. That was all in the background. And I see something in my peripheral. I fucking jumped. Like, I literally jumped. There was someone standing there watching us from, like, behind the telly. And I look, and it wasn't someone. It was the life-size cardboard cutout of Nadine fucking Coyle from Girl. Dead bottom right. I screamed. And he's like, "You okay?" I was like, "Oh, my, Nadine Coyle." I'll find a pic and I'll send it on.
Oh my god.
Very funny. But if you post, someone obviously knows this screen. Very good looking boy, by the way. I'll see you again soon, my darling. are lowered and I can go back to Cork, lol. But lovely guy, but I nearly fucking died.
Do you reckon she's normally out and about, but he hid it, like hid his shame, like putting the dune behind the TV?
Wow, she was seen. Oh. I saw her.
Fred was a bit harsh on them as well. He said, "Did you find the challenge difficult?" And they were like, "Yeah, yeah." Well, we noticed. You know, Fred holds no punches either. He called them unvarnished opinions later on, which I thought was a very clunky way, but interesting way of saying, you know, be honest.
Could that be like a loss in translation of way of saying unpolished? Another way people say, "Oh, it's very polished." It's very unpolished. Maybe. And then, like, the algorithm or whoever's, like, subtitling it is like, "Oh, it's not very varnished, is it?"
I think it's meant to be more, like, unsugar-coated, I think, was what they were coming across as. But it was probably a direct translation.
Mm, salty comments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Salty. No, I did think the judges were quite harsh on them. And it was such a weird episode because there's so many different elements to it.
Mm. Yeah.
That you didn't know what the judges were taking into consideration, really, when they were... Because, obviously, there was two winners.
Carlo was insistent on that. He was like, "Chelsea boy, you have won Snatch Game. Thank you so much." And Chelsea's like, "Yeah, thank you. But you've won Snatch Game." And Chelsea boy was like, "Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I know, you said it."
And then they pulled Chelsea boy backstage and they were like, "We'd like you to talk about how important it was that Carlo shared that at you." And he's like, "Yeah, okay."
He didn't win anything.
No.
For Snatch Game, though.
He won nothing.
Like Envy, what did Envy Prue win? Did Envy Prue win something for winning the challenge?
She won a voucher for a sofa company.
Oh my god, that's it. She won a voucher for DFS.
Hilarious. God bless her. Here's a Tesco meal deal. Thank you.
That's worth more, to be honest. To be fair to them, though, even though they obliterated the Queens and... they seem to be much favouring Abby over Mama Queen. I actually think they did get the judging correct. Like, I think Envy did deserve to win, and I think Abby and Sailor Jean deserved to lip sync, and I think Mama Queen deserved to be low for the Snatch Game, but then ultimately safe. So I would say they got that much right.
Fair observation. No, I totally agree with that.
I would concur, yeah.
So then they had to lip sync to a song called "Girl" by Anouk, and I thought it was really bad.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Fred to do the whole RuPaul meh whole situation.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, but like at least Abby, oh my god, I do enjoy her lip sync. Maybe it's because I've seen her do it so many times. They've grown on.
Yeah, you know what you're expecting.
Yeah, I wasn't, and I think she's very animated in her face and stuff, and I do enjoy her. I find like when you're watching certain things on television, it can be very flat. like if you were watching that and sitting like in the front row, it, like, do you know what I mean, in a theater environment or a bar environment, it'd be a lot more exciting. But at the same time, I think the right person won the lip sync anyway.
I would say I think Abby did a better job in the lip sync, but I feel when it's your third time, I think you need to do considerably better than the other person to stay. I don't think she did considerably better. So I kind of saw this and I was like, oh, Sarah Jean's staying, Abby's going. So then I hadn't really prepared myself and Sarah Jean got the boot. Sarah Jean was my favorite.
Do you
want to
talk about it? Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry, hon. Oh, she wasn't ready, girl.
I was in the fetal position rocking back and forth. I was like, no.
Jesus. See, this is the thing. Reality television, they'll get you.
James, what was your take on the elimination?
The lip sync wasn't great. It was quite bad, and I didn't like the song very much. And I just think that because I remembered, like, was it season 7 when they had they did that kind of like half boy half girl runway before? Because I remember kind of like Trixie, I think was it Trixie and Ginger? Like, it was very odd having the half and half drag thing. I find it hard to kind of watch, and especially like with the weird costume that Sarah Jean was in.
Skip it around.
Which I just think kind of like I think that to be fair, having to lip sync wearing that, I just think was the death knell for Sarah Jean.
And they seem to be saying that this song is a really emotional song and she doesn't perform it anymore. Abby's crying over her mother-in-law and stuff like that. And then, you know, it's a serious song, and then Sarah Jean's doing it dressed as Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog.
But was it a serious song? Like, it felt like the sort of song that like a X Factor runner up would have on their like second album.
I'm going to have to correct you guys. By the way, it wasn't a lip sync for your life; it was a lip sync battle. And now for the lip sync battle, I was like, okay.
I actually noticed, and Fred said it a lot of times because I've noticed that he's like, there are three queens in front of me preparing for the lip sync battle, but only two queens will compete in the lip sync battle. Mama Queen. I know. It was like they had so much time to fill because Snatch Game had been so shite.
Lip sync battle.
Which queen will it be, Abby? Will it be you? Well, I won't tell you now because it could be Mama Queen, but it's not because it might be Sarah Jean.
Lip sync battle, lip sync battle.
So. But Arianna, thank you for coming on the show. I mean, you've already plugged your Instagram. Is there anything else you'd like to shout out?
Yes, thank you. I am releasing my debut single very soon, right after Halloween. It's called Santa Come Through. It's my Christmas single. I wrote it about like 4 years ago, but I was always threatening to release it. But now some like 5 people know who I am. So I was like, you know, fuck it. Let's release the song.
Oh my God.
We're shooting a video for it too, but I'm going to release the song first. And yeah, it's all about like asking Santa, tell him that you want a man for Christmas. References like ISIS, Madeleine McCann, several things. It's like, I like to call it like piss take pop, but it takes itself very seriously. So you can listen to that anywhere good music is sold or streamed.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
Oh my God, that is so exciting.
Or you can also visit my site. It's www.arianagrinder.com, and it's like merch and all sorts of fucking shite.
Ariana Grinder for Christmas number one. Just saying it now.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's our fourth snatch of the year down. Was it worse than All Stars?
Yes.
I mean, All Stars created the one of the best meme of the year with Jujubee and her
Sensual 74. Sensible 74. Yeah. Actually, there's a question. Which of the winners of the year would be your winner? Because I think Gigi Good probably has it for me.
Do you know what? I would have said Jojo Siwa was my favourite of the year.
Okay.
Then Gigi Good.
Yeah. Jojo.
Then Jujubee.
Jojo. Oh my God. Jojo, Gigi.
Jojo, Gigi, and Juju.
Well, that was funnier than anything that happened on Snatch Game.
Thank you so much for Ariana for coming in. Check out the feed on Wednesday. The Kiki is back for a little stint. We chat to Giovanni Vaccari, who is the creative director with the drag agency, the Netherlands' first drag agency, and he has a lot of tea to spill, and he kind of is the manager of some of the queens still on the show. So definitely a great chat with him, and you'll learn a good bit. Other than that, then we'll be back on Saturday with episode 6 of Drag Race Holland, and we wanted to sign off this episode with that thing that Fred says on the show, that Dutch phrase. So we're going to give it a go. We got one of our listeners, Benty, to describe what it means. So have a listen to this.
Dag schat. So it's like, bye, sweetie. But it has a lot of...
Okay, James, you ready to give it a go?
I can barely remember what it sounds like, but I'm going to go for it.
Dag schat.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.